In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The antiphon for Matins this morning enjoins us, when we hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your hearts. It is a strange juxtaposition of emotions that engage us throughout this Holy Week. Palm Sunday is the Lord's triumphal entry into the Holy City, being proclaimed as King by those who have witnessed His power and His majesty and His glory. And yet, at the same time, these very people who celebrate blessings being given to them find themselves easily turned around against our Lord and choose a thief and an insurrectionist instead of choosing God Himself. A hardness of heart in such a short period of time. Confusing and difficult to understand how it comes to pass that those who recognize the power of God are so easily turned against Him. And yet, brothers and sisters, we must not only look at those that did it then, but understand that we too are complicit in the sufferings of our Lord. How easily we rejoice in all the blessings that God gives to us, and yet how easily we forget those blessings when we simply do not receive what we want, or the world turns against us, or things become difficult, or God remains distant from us. We would like to think in some way that we would be different, knowing what it is that we know, and yet the very existence that we live betrays that and makes that a lie. Because indeed, if we did understand fully and truly and lived as we know we ought to live, we would not be prone to sin, susceptible to temptation, easily giving in to all of our desires and our wants. Instead, we would remain steadfast, watchful as our Blessed Mother has been throughout the whole of the life of our Lord, culminating in her standing at the foot of the cross in the midst of her own sorrow and suffering, but never turning away, never running away, always trusting in the power and the majesty of God and the truth of His words. And so it begins for us to lean into and to contemplate. And I think in truth that is the first and maybe only disposition that we take throughout this Holy Week, one of contemplation as the mystery of God unfolds before us. Because to truly understand what it is that has transpired may require something from us that we're not actually able to give. And that is a looking at and then an accounting of the sins for which we are guilty. If we are honest and we look at our sins, they would crush us. The weight and the severity of the things for which we are guilty. How many times we have ceased to love the Lord because we chose to love ourselves. How many times we chose the world because it was the easier path instead of embracing our crosses and following after the Lord? How many times we bought into the lies that Satan whispered into our ears instead of accepting the truth that the Lord proclaims again and again? He who has never denied, never deceived, never lied to us. And yet we, time and time again, have chosen anything and everything except the Lord Himself. To truly understand that, to truly lean into that, would indeed lay us bare. But the Lord is merciful. It is, after all, mercy that has prompted the Father to send the Son by the working of the Holy Spirit that culminates in what it is that we begin to celebrate. It is a merciful love that the Son mounts the throne of His cross in order that we might have new and everlasting life. It is mercy that allows the Lord to take all sins, past, present, and future, upon Himself, to pay the debt that we incurred in order that we might be set free. And so what does one do? How does one respond? One finds the time, one makes the effort, one enters into the sacrifice to make sure that you are physically present here as much and as often as you can be for all the ritual liturgical realities that will transpire here this week, that you might be in the presence of God, contemplating the things of God, allowing the realities of God, especially those that we do encounter liturgically, ritualistically, to wash over you, to imbibe in the things of God that bring us mercy and peace. It is hard for us, brothers and sisters, to truly understand the part that we play. And yet the Lord's love for us is so profound that really that is not what he wants for us. What he wants for us is the new life that he has gained for us, the peace and the joy that comes from the new life that is born for us upon the cross. And maybe that is the best of ways that we can do this, is to rejoice in what it is that has been gained for us and for a moment sit with the Lord himself and give him thanks. This time of the year is always particularly poignant for me. It was because of these days, these holiest of days, most especially the Sacred Triduum, that I can pinpoint the moment that I contemplated my priestly vocation, especially the priests in my parish, and the manner in which they went about celebrating these holiest of days. I did not have any theological sophistication. I had no words to articulate what it is that I was experiencing, only that I wanted to be in church, was blessed to be able to be there from Holy Thursday through Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday, to be on the sidelines as all of this unfolded and as I grew older to take a more active role in the sacred mysteries of the Sacred Triduum. Truly a heart speaking to the heart of our Lord. The Lord's grace and mercy and compassion thawing out of the hardness of heart of a young man who oftentimes was more beset by sin than he was cooperative with grace. And yet as I stand here now, some 30, 40 years, maybe even 50 years from that first time that I truly understood the great grace that had been bestowed upon me by being able to be present at the Sacred Triduum, I marvel at what God has continued to do. How many times since that first experience have I continued to squander the grace and mercy of the Lord, and yet how many times he has returned again and again to give me that very grace, to bestow that mercy upon me. I am not worthy and could live 1,000 lifetimes and would never have the worthiness for such a great gift. And if indeed that is how we embark upon this reality, somehow seeking from God a worthiness, we will never actually achieve that. Because the debt incurred is sin against God himself. And no man was ever going to be able to make recompense for the sins for which all men are actually guilty. This is the fittingness to which the ancients would often speak, that God in the fullness of time would send his Son to take our place, to suffer and die for us in order that we might live. God offering sacrifice to God on our behalf so that the sacrifice offered would be acceptable and perfect and would once for all wipe away the debt that Adam and Eve incurred and that we have continued to pass on generation after generation. And so it is my hope and prayer for all of us, not only that we can be here physically, but just as significantly and as poignantly, we can be here emotionally, spiritually, in the presence of God, and be active participants in all that unfolds before us. There will be hosannas to the Son of David proclaimed as we welcome our Lord. But there will also be the clamorings of his crucifixion. There will be the disciples who will betray our Lord, those who deny our Lord, those who abandon our Lord, but also those who remain at the foot of the cross, the youngest present there to witness, and our Blessed Mother, she who is our constant companion, will be there with us also at the foot of the cross to help us peer upon the face of our Lord that Veronica so gently took care of, but also to put us under her mantle when it will be altogether too difficult for us to endure. And then, brothers and sisters, lest we move too quickly, there will come that morning, very early in the morning, where we will go to that place where death itself was conquered, looking for some understanding, only to find there proclaimed that indeed he has risen. He has gone before us, and we must go forth and proclaim that as well. I think back to my time as a young man and really understand now what it is that was transpiring, was not the entrance into a historical reality that remained separate from me, but the celebration of something that is real and true even now. This is, after all, why it is we do what it is that we do, and why we celebrate what we celebrate, not historical reenactments of something that is ossified and separate from us, but the entrance into reality that continues even now. Our Lord makes himself present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in this very sacrifice so that we might be drawn to the foot of the cross and don't have to wonder what it must be like to have been there, but to understand that when we come forward to receive the living God, that is precisely where I am. You don't have to ask yourself what I would do. Rather, you must ask yourself what it is that you are doing. Are you worthy to come forward and to receive the living God at this precise moment? And if indeed you choose to present yourself for Holy Communion today, do you understand who it is that you are receiving? And are you then prepared to live your life accordingly? These are not rhetorical questions. They're not speculative questions. Rather, they are questions that you must ask and then answer. And your life then must be lived accordingly, so that you can come forward to truly rejoice in the living God who is in you. And then, like the holy women who went to anoint our Lord's body, you can go forth into the world and proclaim what you know to be true, that sin and death have been conquered once and for all, and Christ indeed has risen from the dead. Let us rejoice, brothers and sisters, that we have been found worthy of such a gift. Let us praise the Lord for his mercy, for his compassion and his love. And let us commit ourselves in these holiest of days to journey with our Lord to his cross, that we might share in the glories of his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.